If you've been coming here to City View through the month of December, you know that we've been looking at the various songs of the Christmas story through the Gospel of Luke. We've heard from Mary, we've heard from Zechariah, and hey, Jannies, oh, it's so good to have you guys. And tonight we have a song sung by not solos like we've had. Zechariah and Mary have been more solos. This one begins as a solo and then breaks out as a chorus. So we want to look at the song of the angels tonight. And as we're reading Luke, he's giving us a VIP seat to this scene, to this concert, this song, so to speak. And we've got gold circle seats. However, the shepherds have even better seats. And as we look at the story here and how it unfolds in chapter 2, the first few verses into verse 8, We don't notice all of the shepherds lined up at the gate of the field to get. They aren't sleeping out overnight. They don't have their sleeping bag. They're not there to get tickets to be the first one out into the field to get the best rock, the best seat to see the concert. We don't see any of that. PBS isn't lined up to film great performances that night. They're not there. It would have been great. They should have been. They weren't anticipating it. But it was the normal night shift. The shepherds are out there. It's a normal night shift. All Luke says in verse 9 is, and lo. Some of your translations is, and lo. Very simply stated, angels showed up. The angel of the Lord showed up. And Luke is doing that. He's very matter of fact. He's just giving us the facts. But if we step into the moment for just a second, it says that the glory of the Lord shone all around them. You imagine the very presence of God, which really left the nation of Israel in Ezekiel. They were under judgment, so they haven't seen the glory like this in a really long time. And the glory shone all around them, so you can imagine this bright light. So we're used to standing in light like this, where there's a shadow down here, there's a shadow behind me if we stick our hands. Imagine a glory, a light, where there's no shadows. It's that penetrating. So if you're laying around that night in the night shift, and usually if you work third shift or you're working the night shift, the supervisors aren't in and things get a little lax. And I see Matt Forey, right? I'm not you, but you know, I'm sure the people you work with on third shift are like that. I knew. Yeah, you can identify. But the supervisors are off, you know, and so the angels show up in the glory. The light shines everywhere. So, you know, if I've got a magazine or I've got a bottle or something I'm hanging on to, it's all out in the open now. And fear strikes them. There's no shadows. And as I looked at it, I said, you know what? This is kind of like the first WikiLeaks. Like, yeah. Nothing, everything, all of the secrets are disclosed, aren't they? Everything's out. So if you're trying to hide anything, these shepherds are up to no good or they're slacking. It's all out in the open. The glory of the Lord shone on them. We see Daniel. We see Isaiah. We saw Mary, we saw Zechariah, we see a whole host of people all through the Bible stories that when the glory of the Lord showed up, they were either laying as though dead, they were trembling. The first words out of the angel's mouth every time is what? Fear not, because they were fearing. It was very, very frightening. Those of you that have King James, sore afraid is what it says. The angel shows up and says, you know what, this isn't, hey, I'm your angel. It's fear not. and they're not sure. They're like, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. I feels both ways to me right now. But the angel says, fear not. And they're thinking, why? And he says, well, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. That's what calms them down. And as I thought about that this all through this week and tonight, we're a people very acquainted with fear, aren't we? We know that emotion very, very well. And for some of us, it's different. For others of us, I read Calvin and Hobbes. Any Calvin and Hobbes fans? Calvin did not want his light turned off, right? Because something was under the bed. It was the drooling monster, wasn't it? The drooling monster, and sometimes it would talk to him at night. Also, as I was looking at this week, I came across another fear that some folks have, and I won't make light of it because some of us may deal with that, with it here tonight, but it's called anatidiphobia. Anatidiphobia. Does anybody know what that is? If you suffer with it, you'll know what it is. It's the irrational and pervasive fear that no matter where you are or what you're doing, a duck is watching you. And some of you now know what it's called, what you feel all the time. You know, whether you're at your dorm room or wherever you're at. The fear that somewhere, somehow, a duck is watching you. Or a goose, a waterfowl of some sort. Anatidiphobia. I mean, there's fears and phobias for everything. We could go on and on and on. And some of you have heard some of the very strange but debilitating fears that we carry. You know, and we know that it's crazy that a duck would be watching us. It's like, what is he going to do? But it still can be completely debilitating and disruptive to our lives. So I don't know what your fear is tonight. I know we all have them. I know dying and public speaking rank up at the top for most people. But there's great fear, not only in the presence of God in this case, but also in our daily lives. So we get that. Okay, we're not that far removed from the shepherds tonight. But watch this. When the angel comes, he says, "Fear not." Okay, give me a reason why I shouldn't. I have good news of great joy. So the shepherds, and we also, we can't get from fear to great joy without good news. We can't go from the fear we find ourselves to the great joy that's promised without some good news, the best news. And this good news, this best news, puts all the other circumstances, all the other news, all the other events or fears or whatever we're wrestling with in our lives, puts it all in perspective, doesn't it? It's the good news of a baby being born. That's pretty good news. We've had some babies born. Rinna is back here. Rinna, I didn't mention her. Rinna, Rich and Becky's little one. Rinna, meaning shout of joy. Is that right? Did I get that right? Shouts of joy. So Rinna's here. It's great news that a baby's born. But these shepherds out here going, well, like a baby, this is supposed to be pretty big. And it was. And there's a sign here given. You're going to go, you're going to find him first of all. He's going to be wrapped in cloth and you're going to find him laying in a manger. And then we're told suddenly, like all of a sudden, the chorus shows up of the heavenly hosts, or the breaking that down in the Greek, or the original languages, is it's a heavenly army shows up. Like heavenly soldiers are showing up. And I wrote in my notes, they're singing soldiers. So we're sitting here watching the great performance, and we're leaning in wondering and trying to hear, what is it that these singing soldiers are saying? What does the song sound like? The guy ahead of you says, well, it's something about peace. Well, listen in again. He says, well, is it all we are saying is give peace a chance? I think that's what it was. And he says, no, I heard that on the way here, actually. It was tied into a Christmas song. I thought, isn't that fascinating? Peace. So, no, it's not that one. Or is it no more lives torn apart? And all the wars would never start. They're singing about the angels' grown-up Christmas list. That's what it is. No, that's not at all what it is. The angels are saying this in verse 14. Let's get this thing straight, shepherds. All glory is God's, who is in the highest place. And on earth, peace to men whom his favor rests. And very literally, it's most exalted God, very peaceful the men. Most exalted is God, very peaceful are the men. Those that are exalting God, the peace is evident there. But I just want to take a moment, just another few minutes, to talk about the word peace. We're talking about glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men. What in the world is this peace? Now, I think it's helpful if we look at what the peace is not. The peace that they're talking about here is not no more war. Okay? Because Jesus even said when he came that nations are going to rise up against nations. There's going to be rumors of wars and all of that going on. And if no more war is what the angels meant by peace, then Christianity is a flop. And we ought to just move over and make room for somebody else to give it a shot. Because that hasn't happened, obviously. As we read the newspaper daily about the North and South Koreans, just as an example. Now, when Jesus comes again, sets up his kingdom on earth, there's going to be peace, believe me. But not today. He also doesn't mean that it's going to be no more trouble, that somehow we're going to be removed or from life's challenges, life circumstances, disappointments, the pain, illness, that will somehow achieve some psychological state where there's no more of that. That's not what they're saying. Because again, if that was the case, then we'd all have to throw in the towel and say, well, something's wrong here. But if you just look to the other side, we want to just look at the end of Zechariah's song to find out about this. That's verse 79 of chapter 1. Just kind of look to the left. Luke chapter 1, verse 79. We want to reference Zechariah's song because at the very end, Zechariah makes a very profound statement. And he says that there's going to be a guiding to our feet into the way of peace. Oh, there's peace again. But if you follow that up another line, the guiding of our feet in the way of peace is as a result of a light given. Do you see that? And the light comes from the sunrise. And the sunrise is as a result of the tender mercies of God. The tender mercies of God are because of the forgiveness of sins. And the forgiveness of sins is as a result of the knowledge of salvation. Did you see that? We traced it right up to verse 79. So the peace is peace with God. That's the peace they're talking about here. And three things about the peace, and then we're closed. Peace doesn't exist with God naturally for us. It doesn't happen naturally. The Bible says we're separated from God because of sin that happened way back in the very beginning of the book. See, this whole book goes together. We can't just read Luke and forget about Genesis because it all ties together. The Bible tells us there's this gaping hole between us and our Father, us and God, and that we can't do a thing about it on our own. Our thoughts, our actions are not at peace with God, and this is our chief problem in life. It's not the wars among nations. It's the war of my heart against my Heavenly Father. Secondly, peace cannot be achieved through our own effort. We know that, right? Like, we can't fix that problem. We can't just try harder. You know, that's religion. Some of the saddest parts and seasons of my life is when I got into that, trying to work my way through it, try to be better, get up a little earlier, try to pray a little more, try to listen to a little more, try. And that's trying to close the gap, trying to earn it. You can't do it. And I'm going to illustrate this by sharing with you a story that happened when I was a teenager in youth group. We had a live nativity scene. Anybody ever been a part of a live nativity scene? You know, where you have live animals and you act it out in front of the church? Well, we were in a small town community, and, you know, we had them all lined up. You know, we had the whole crowd out front. You know, we did it like every hour, and so there's all the crowd of people out front, and we have Mary and Joseph were just about to make their trek, the long journey from Bethlehem across the lawn of the church. And, you know, Mary's already seated on Petey the Pony and ready to go. That's really his name, Petey the Pony. So Petey the Pony's ready, and we've got to... And my brother Mike, I have an older brother, and Toby Stoner, which is another friend of his, were in charge of the sheep. And the show sheep got away. So we're about ready to, like, launch into this magnificent display of holiday. And the sheep took off. And so my brother, who he's in cross country, he takes off after the sheep, and Toby goes after it into the darkness of the night. And so the sheep is going through all of the yards, and he just disappears. So we're like, well, you know, it's ready to go. So out went Petey the Pony, and, you know, we're missing a few guys, but they got it. We went on with the show. Well, the sheep runs all the way down, and we had a big fairgrounds. Well, that sheep didn't even slow down, ran right into the chain link fence and bounced back and was just startled. I think it was trying to get its eyes back in its head. You know, it comes to, my brother and his friend were closing on the sheep. Sheep stands up and takes off down the alley, does a 90-degree turn, and launches over the bushes and right into somebody's picture window. You know, I don't even remember her name, but she's pulling her drape shut, and here comes this sheep. Wham! You know, and the sheep didn't go through the window. It just collapsed. You know, I guess the second hit was enough, and that was it. So my brother, they dove on the sheep, the show sheep, and wrestled it to and got it back, and I think it was ready for the 7 or 8 o'clock show. I think it was... But for many of us, that's how we live in terms of getting everything in order, getting the whole production together, and everything seems to be in its place. But inevitably, the sheep always gets loose, and you end up in chaos. Okay? And maybe that's just a weak analogy, but I think it works. That we do. We try to put all the pieces back together to try to bring peace to our life through organization and trying to close this gap with God, and the sheep's out running around, you know. And there's a part of your life that's just, you just can't get it all together. We can't fix this problem. Thus, Christ's mission announced by these angels, the night we celebrate tonight, his mission was to establish this peace. And he doesn't make peace in the manger, but by the blood of the cross. But that's an Easter sermon. No, it all fits together. Colossians 1:20 says, through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. So the word tonight is, do you know that peace? You know, some of us are going to be leaving here in just a short while and heading into family environments, whether it's anything but peaceful. You may not even like them. You just have to go. Or they have good food. And you want to show up, because if you show up, it'll even get worse. So don't look. So it's very hard for us to hear. Well, what are you talking about, Steve? What do you mean peace? Like there's anything but peace in this world. That's not what they were singing about. That's not what they came for. Oh, we'll experience some of that. But if we believe that it's no more wars, everything goes great in our life, we're going to live a very frustrated life, and eventually throw your hat out and just quit. That's not what he's talking about. But do you know this peace? We're going to close with Silent Night. But I ask you, is it a silent night in your soul? Is there peace inside? That's the question here this season. Jesus didn't show up to be a model of a good life, of how to live. He came as a substitute for us. One that takes my place, one that takes your place. And the angels came in the routine of life for the shepherds. They just showed up on a routine day. And that's the testimony for many of you here tonight. Those of you that I know, God has shown up for you in the routine of your life. He has come, he has revealed himself to you. You've seen the light, so to speak, and the glory. And you said, yeah, there's not a peace. I can't do a thing about it. I've tried. That's the message of Christmas. He came to establish that peace through his blood. So where are you in the routine of life? Routine of the holidays. Is God's light shining on you this season in a way that he hasn't? I pray, think it through. We're going to be singing. Corey, you can come up, and I'm going to invite the band to come back up as well, the musicians and the singers. And Corey's going to lead out in a song called God With Us. My candle lighters, I need Mr. Forey, Mr. Myers to help. This is a kind of a Christmas Eve tradition. There is only one time all year that we allow people to have fire in this building. This building is all wood. It really is. It's all sticks. And no smoke alarms or anything like that. So this only happens one time. So we reserve it for a very special night. Here, you guys, I'll give you the big candles. What I'd like to do, these folks here, they're going to light off of the main light, and they're going to go right up the center. And what I'd like to do, Dave and Dean, you guys start, just lean in, and you guys don't tip. You're going to spill it, okay? So you stay up, and these guys will lean in. So Dick, you guys, and you just lean in and light, and then just pass it. Just pass the light down, and if you get to the end, Nick, you can kind of pass it over to those guys. And can we do that? Think we can do that? We'll just kind of stay seated here in this moment as we consider the peace of God that has been given. When Corey is done, we'll stand together and sing Silent Night, Holy Night together. As you're sitting there holding your light, just be honest with God. Is there peace in my life? Is there peace with God? The good news of great joy.